Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We have finished the WPIL regular season, and we are straight ahead, headed to the WPIL postseason playoffs beginning in WPIL baseball on Tuesday and Wednesday, first round action. All the quarterfinals a week from Monday, all the semifinals a week from Tuesday, and of course, fingers crossed that the weather cooperates as we get going. One team carrying a whole lot of momentum into the postseason is our WPIAL Team of the Week, the Chargers of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. Two huge victories this past week. They are now the Section 2 outright champions, also the number 2 seed in 2A. To talk all things Olsh baseball, their outstanding head coach, Phil McCarron, is kind enough to join us. Phil, not only a great coach, but also great guy as well. Phil, we appreciate you joining us, and congrats on all the success.
Thank you, Don. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for recognizing our team and what we've accomplished throughout the season, but especially this was a big week for us, and it's been fun.
We'll dive into the games, the big showdown with Seton LaSalle for the section championship in a moment. But, when we were going over the brackets, I was going over up and down the six classifications, how many big series there were. Kudos, I guess, to the schedule maker. There were so many big series that did come down to section championships, coming down to that final section series. To me, that's just a natural that if you're playing those games in early May that are almost like playoff games, what great preparation for the postseason.
Yeah, it's the way that the schedule kind of fell out this year. Seton LaSalle and us were the two best records, and so we played the final series of the season. However, last year there was a 3 or 4 way battle for first place. So it was pretty tight. And but this year, yeah, it did work out that way. So it's kind of nice to get that end of the year finale, and then a little preparation for the playoffs, like you said.
So you guys enter the week one game behind Seton LaSalle. So a split really would do you guys no good as far as your outright section championship hopes were concerned. And you take that first big step, you go to Brookline and you come away with a victory 8-2, close throughout, and then you guys a big seventh inning to sort of kind of blow it open.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good ball game, and certainly I don't think 8-2 was indicative of the whole game. We jumped out early to a 2-0 lead, and then we gradually expanded that to 4, and then in the seventh, we added, I believe that we added 4 on in the seventh, and then they added 2 in the bottom of the seventh. They got their 2. So it was a good game. Certainly I think the bulk of it was closer than the final score indicated.
The second game at your place, okay, that's for the first win's nice, much needed. Put you guys into a tie with Seton LaSalle. Then you guys get them at Youthtown for all the marbles for the section championship. And boy, you couldn't have scripted a better start. They jump out to the 1-0 lead. 6 runs in the bottom of the first, and you guys were in control on your way to a 12-4 victory. A coach's delight.
Yeah, it really was. In the top of the first, They got a guy on, Gio Linero walked, and then they had one out, and they bunted him up. They're looking to bunt, and with one out, just to get a guy in scoring position, even with 2 outs. And I figured maybe what they were trying to do was try to get a lead after they had played from behind the whole day before, which is probably a good strategy. I like to play with a lead as well. It takes a little pressure off your pitcher and your fielders a little bit. So they did. They were able to knock that run in, so they go up 1-0. And I went out to the coach's box in the bottom of the first, and obviously it's still the first inning, a lot of baseball to play, but just hoping to be able to maybe get one back. You know, we talk a lot about one of our goals is when teams score, to try to, in the next half inning, the next frame, try to answer back in some way, even if it's just one run. So kind of see if we could answer, and we answered beyond my expectations, certainly. So drew a couple walks, and then was Sean Hudak, our cleanup hitter. He had a big hit driving in a couple runs, and then Anthony Hansen had the big three-run home run over the right field wall, which was pretty exciting. It was our first home run of the season, and wow. I think the first of his career for sure in high school, anyway. So so anyway, it's pretty exciting, and you know, we had a nice crowd there. It was a beautiful night, and so we kind of went from there.
I was going to ask if you maybe injured your shoulder from, you know, waving guys home, but a three-run blast sort of kind of takes the pressure off that waving shoulder.
Yeah, although he did come around third, and I kind of put my hand out, you know, for a low five or whatever, and he smacked it pretty good, bruised the thumb a little bit. I didn't tell him that, but I was shaking my hand a little bit there about five. I was like, what happened? I was like, oh, yeah, he hit my thumb when he came around.
Some of the perils of coaching young men who are obviously overly excited, but that's a heck of a moment. I'm sure he was on cloud nine as he bashed your thumb in. It was in that game. Let's talk a little bit about this, because when I read it, I got a little bit of a chuckle. You channeled your inner Buck Showalter. You mentioned Gio Lanero. We had him on a few weeks ago as one of our players of the week. Just a tremendous hitter, tremendous baseball player. Sky's the limit. He comes up at some point in this game with the bases loaded, and you know, coaches talk all the time. There are certain players we're not going to let beat us, and I mean, you took that beyond the limits. You intentionally walked Gio with the bases loaded, bringing in a run. Were there folks in the Chargers dugout looking at you like, what, coach, what are you doing?
No, you know, I stand by my assistants, and they were all for it. The situation was the sixth inning. At the time, we were up 9-2. And so certainly had a commanding lead, a comfortable lead at that point. You know, Gio had already doubled off the center field wall and lined out, almost took my shortstop's glove off. So certainly squared a couple up already. And it was a warm night, and the ball was carrying. And, you know, my thinking was, you know, certainly, you know, with one swing of the bat, the way the ball was, especially the way the ball was carrying that night, he could easily, you know, pop one out. And the next thing you know, it's 9-6. Still got a 3-run lead. But why give them that life?
Momentum. Yep.
Yeah. You know, so I kind of likened it. Somebody asked me about it, and I kind of likened it to, you know, the end of a football game. Maybe you're up six. Say you're up six and minute left, got the ball on the 1 yard line, fourth down. Do you punt it from the back of your end zone or run out the back and take the safety and lose 2 points, but then be able to get the free kick from the 20? So it's a baseball move. You know, certainly a baseball move, I think, but also, you know, it's respect for him. He's sure. A great hitter, great ball player.
That's the utmost respect to me. I'm sure he was frustrated in the moment, but again, I don't know that too many people, too many baseball folks would argue with that kind of philosophy. Because, like you said, you're still up by three if he goes yard, but the momentum is a fickle thing, and you don't necessarily
honestly
want to mess with that.
Honestly, he was on deck when the game ended. We were up 12-4 then in top of the seventh. And he was on deck, and we struck the leadoff hitter out to end the game. If it was a full count, if he would have come up again with the bases loaded, I was going to do it again. So
is that something now that you and again, it's Gio is a very, very special exception to the rule. But is that something you think about going into a game, or is that something where you see it developing and that's when you know, lean to your assistant coaches with the idea?
No, it's not something that I thought about before the game. I mean, certainly before the game, we had a game plan that we didn't want to let him beat us. I mean, we're not going to, you know, it's high school baseball, and we're not going to, you know, walk him every time he bats. But at the same time, there was certainly talk of at some point in the series, maybe a couple times, putting him on. It hadn't really occurred to me the bases being loaded until he did come up in the when he came up in the the third or fourth inning. He came up with the bases loaded. We pitched to him that time, and that's when he lined out to the shortstop. He hit the ball pretty hard. But so we did pitch to him earlier in the game with the bases loaded. But like I said, as we got towards the end of the game, just that momentum, that little bit of life, you know, why take the chance when you don't have to close the game out? But he'll have a great story to tell people, right, the rest of his life.
That's right. That is the as we mentioned, the utmost sign of respect. Let's talk a little bit. Okay, so you guys get the win 12-4 sweep, and you win the section championship. So it had to have been a very, very tremendous feeling for this Charger team. Let's talk a little bit about the team. We had A.J. Verde, talented senior catcher from Mohawk, was our player of the week last week. And just talking to him, everything coming out of his mouth was dripping with leadership. And that's something in doing this for as long as I have and following high school baseball, you get a good, solid senior catcher. Those guys are money, and you have one. He's your leading hitter, Brandon Brazell. They're a lot of times they're like coaches out on the field. They really know what's going on. They're usually good students of the game, and obviously, he can hit the ball as well. Does he fall in that category of all those things you look for in a leader?
Oh, absolutely. Brandon is, he's been a 3-year starter for me. And he's always been a good leader. He's very vocal, but especially as a senior, he knows the game very well. And he really is, when you talk about a field general, right? He really is a field general on the field, almost like a coach on the field in many ways. He does a great job, especially with trying to, pick players up, right? Keep things positive, even when things aren't really going our way. Sometimes if something needs to be said to get guys moving a little bit too, he's not afraid to do that either. So, but he's done a great job behind the plate. He's got a good arm, blocks the ball very well. One of the best blocking catchers that I've ever had. He keeps the ball in front a lot, unless the pitch is really wild. Like I said, nice arm, good bat too. He's our leading hitter right now. Batting over 460, and he's been there all year. So a little bit of power. He's got good gap powers. I think he has 11 doubles, if I remember. But he's doing a great job in leadership, and that's kind of what I expect. He's our captain as well.
Possible captain next year, Gino Williams, your second leading hitter, also hitting over 400. He's your shortstop again. That's you talk about natural leadership positions in this sport. Catcher is one, shortstop, center field. Those are others. And he's obviously having himself quite a season.
Yeah, Gino's doing a great job. He's a junior. He's a 3-year starter. His freshman year, he played more second base. And then the last 2 years, he's been at shortstop. And he's really matured. I was making a comment to one of my assistant coaches today at practice. Just how much he's matured. I mean, he's been a good shortstop for us for a long time, but he's kind of getting into that realm where, as a coach, I don't have to think about my shortstop very often, right? And that's a good place to be, because usually he's the best fielder on the field, and I played shortstop, so I understand a lot of the ins and outs of it. And he's really matured to the point where he really is a very, very nice defensive player, making the routine plays, but also taking charge of, pop-ups and things like that, and making some unusual or out of the ordinary plays as well. Sure. He's been doing a great job with the bat. He's really been stroking the ball pretty good, especially the last couple games.
And he has a brother on the team too, right?
Yeah, Bruno. Bruno's a sophomore. He's our backup catcher. So he's in training, but Bruno's a great kid too, and he's gonna be a good ball player for us down the road.
One thing that I I loved the section series setup that the WPIO switched to a few years ago. And the one thing, I think it helps prepare teams for this time of year, for the postseason, because you can't rely on one guy to get you through, especially the way now it's set up where, yeah, first round is 1 week, but then you have the quarterfinals, semifinals, if weather permits, on back-to-back days, so that you need two strong pitchers. And you are blessed to have, as you called it before we got started, one A and one B, two outstanding pitchers who are not, you know, a lot of pitchers at this time of year maybe starting to get a little worn out, but they both had some injury issues early on. Isaiah Schultz, Quinn Santelli, and from a innings thrown or even a pitches thrown aspect, they're still kind of fresh.
Yeah, they are.
Good.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, they are relatively fresh, and but they're just rounding into form now, which is good. Yeah, they did have a little bit of an injury bug at the beginning of the year. Starting back in February, and some things that they had to rest a little bit, do some physical therapy to get back ready to go. And you know, so I kind of knew that was going to be a bit of a challenge for us at the beginning of the year, an opportunity to develop some depth at pitching, certainly. So that's a good thing. But also, you know, not having your top two guys the first couple of weeks was going to provide a challenge. But we weathered the storm and got better as a team. And now these guys have come back and they've, you know, gradually worked their way back to the point now where they're where they should be. So they're both ready to go for the playoffs.
That's a great, great thing to have coming into the postseason, that 1-2 punch on the mound, and the number two seed in Class 2A has that. You guys lost to Southside mid-April, your only section loss, 3-1. You've won 11 straight games, and a lot of them in impressive fashion. What has been the key overall, the key to success for the Chargers since April 15th and really over the entire season?
Well, it was, you know, getting our top two pitchers back. Look, I have a couple other really good pitchers as well. But getting those two guys back and kind of providing us with some consistency. And then our defense has really improved. You know, early on in the season, we had some guys moving around. We lost four starters from last year, so we had new guys stepping in. We also had guys moving positions. So kind of settling into new positions, trying to figure out, you know, who the new starters were going to be. We had multiple guys competing for those positions. And so defensively, we started off a little bit slow, but then really started to solidify. And that was really, really important. So, you know, pitching and defense and baseball are so important. And then, you know, you got to score some runs too. And hitting really picked up early in the season. We were hitting okay, but really midway. And, you know, we've really been hitting the ball, which is a good thing. And it's not just the two guys that we mentioned, Brandon and Gino, but the thing that's been really nice is different games, it's been different guys. You know, some guys it's been the 5 and 6, 7 hitter have been the best hitters, right? Some guys it's the top guys. So, you know, some other good hitters we have for us are Brandon has a twin brother, Brady Brazil. Sean Hudak is our third baseman. He's a junior, really hitting the ball well right now. Has had some huge hits in that Seton series. Van Cables, he's also our third pitcher. He's a junior, and right, he's throwing the ball in the upper 80s. Now he missed last season because he tore up his knee in football. So as a sophomore, he didn't play at all. And he's 6'5", 240, and he throws the ball pretty hard. So he's kind of a work in progress. Great kid, working very hard, but he's kind of my third option, my third arm there, which is nice. But he hits well. And, you know, Anthony Hansen, who hit the home run against Seton, he has been doing a real nice job for us in center field. So,
And to back up Phil's claim about the sticks and how well they have been for this Chargers lineup, 11 straight wins, 9 of the 11 games, they have scored double-digit runs. And I don't know what happened in those other two games. They only scored 9 and 8 runs. So they have something to work on, I guess. You guys get the number 2 seed. You will play the winner of the 7-10 game, Riverview Beth Center, Monday, May 20th, in the quarterfinals. We're talking almost 2-week layoff for your team. Is that a concern, and what do you do to try to keep them sharp?
Okay, sorry, you were cutting out a little bit there. Okay. So you were asking about the layoff and what we're
doing.
It'll be
13 days between the second Seton game and your quarterfinal game. Is that a concern, and what do you do to keep them sharp?
Well, we're practicing every day, obviously, and trying to schedule some scrimmages. Like I said, we scrimmaged Valley yesterday. So obviously a good team, good 3A school. They came to our place yesterday. We had a nice scrimmage. We're scheduled to scrimmage on Monday. I'm looking for a couple more on Wednesday, Thursday next week. So I figured if we could get Friday, Monday, and then midweek next week, that would kind of keep us going as far as, playing other, teams in other jerseys and so forth. And still give us, 4 days to recoup, rest up, and polish some things up for when we got to play for real the next Monday.
Mm. Will you go out and personally look at that Riverview Beth Center game?
Most likely, yeah. I plan on doing that at Gateway on Tuesday night, so I probably will go look at that. And we already played Riverview, so we played them early in the year. Also, I know they're on film several places. Some of their games have been videoed, so I could watch those as well, which I'm sure I will. Beth Center, I don't know a whole lot about. I haven't seen them this year. We did play them last season in an early season tournament, but I haven't seen them play. So it'll be important to get a look at them, barring what happens.
15th season as the head coach of the Chargers of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart for you, Phil. You guys have come so close to WPIL gold. You guys are a legit contender this year. I think back to that tough loss 11 years ago in the 2013 finals against Western Beaver. Does this team have what it takes to finally raise that gold?
I would like to think, yeah. There's a lot of teams I think that do. 2A is really competitive this year. There's a lot of good teams out there. Sarah Catholic obviously drew the one seed, and they're always very good, very well coached, and tough teams, tough kids. Seton, we beat them twice, and you could look at the scores, but trust me, if we play them again, I could very likely see it being a dogfight. They're a good ball club. And then on the other side of the bracket, you got GCC, you got Burgettstown, and then Riverview, is with us, and Char Houston, and there's a lot of good teams in double A. And I'd like to think that, we drew the 2 seeds. So we got the respect of the committee for that. And I think we have good pitching, deep pitching. And I think we have a good spirit right now, a good team spirit, good leadership, like you mentioned, Brandon, plus the other seniors as well, two other captains, Quinn and Brady. And I like our team chemistry. It's a really good group right now, but I say to my players all the time, and they like to quote me back, round ball, round bat. A lot of things can happen in a ball game. Sure. So, you can prepare and go and play hard. But sometimes it's luck of the bounce a little bit too.
No question. A lot of the things that you just mentioned right there in that little 15-second, 20-second clip are key ingredients in that championship stew. You guys have it. You guys have the big bats that have been consistent all year. You guys got the pitching, a nice 1-2 punch. Why not? Why not the Chargers? We'll wait and see. That's the fun of the next 3 weeks is the chase for gold. Phil, again, congratulations this past week. A tremendous season. Outright section championship. You got that one. It's, everyone has three goals: section title, district title, state title. One accomplished. We'll see about the next two. But congratulations on your success and the Chargers' success, and best wishes here in the postseason.
Okay, Don, I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for recognizing us. I know when I told the kids this morning that I'd gotten a text from you last night that we were going to be the team of the week, they were excited and appreciative of it. So we're very thankful. Thank you for all you do for athletics here in Western Pennsylvania, the WPIL. It's good to have people like you covering us and covering the kids and giving them the credit that they deserve for the work they put in.
I greatly appreciate it. When you told them I got a text from Don Rubble, they said, who? What?
No, they know who you are.
Phil, appreciate it. Hopefully our paths will cross as well. I get a chance to see you guys in person.
That'd be great.
Take care. Phil McCarron, head coach of the Our Lady of the Sacred Heart Chargers. Real deal. I think they proved that on Monday and Tuesday against a very, very good Seat LaSalle team. 8-2. 12-4, outright Section 2, 2A champs. And as he mentioned, the committee acknowledged it. They get the number 2 seed in the 2A tournament. They have a little bit of a break. They won't play till Monday the 20th, quarterfinal against either Riverview or Beth Center. All right, so we went over the 4A, 5A, 6A brackets in our player of the week podcast, or we will. So right now we'll focus on baseball's 2A, 3A, and Class A brackets. We're talking 2A, so let's just focus on 2A. As Phil mentioned, Brian Zarenda and the Sarah Catholic Eagles draw the number one seed. They also get a first round bye. They'll play the winner of the 8-9 game, and this, like most 8-9 games, should be a dandy. Tuesday, 4:30 at the Burkett Complex in Robinson Township. The Laurel Spartans against the Charleroi Cougars. Again, 4:30 start for that one. Burkittstown section champion, but no first round bye. They are the number 4 seed. They will take on the Jeanette Jayhawks, also at the Burkett Complex in Robinson, under the lights at 7 o'clock. These are all Tuesday games in the first round in 2A. 5th seed, Greensburg Central Catholic. They will face Washington, the 12th seed, Tuesday, 2 p.m. at Gateway High School. Mention Riverview Beth Center. That's the 7-10 game at Gateway at 7 p.m. with the winner drawing Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, the 2 seed. Seton LaSalle gets the 3 seed. That, I think, was the biggest debate going into the 2A brackets. Would it section champion Burkittstown get the 3, or would it be Seton LaSalle, which was in rank number 1 in a lot of rankings before losing those 2 games to Our Lady of the Sacred Heart? It's Seton LaSalle that gets the 3 seed and a bye. They'll play the winner of the 6-11 game in the quarterfinals. Chartiers Houston going up against Freedom. That also at the Burkett Complex. So a triple header of 2A first-round games in Robinson Township. That one's the first one, 2 o'clock, the Bucks and the Bulldogs. All right, let's go to 3A. It's a full bracket, 16 teams, with Riverside drawing the number 1 seed. They are the defending WPIL and PIAA champions and coming off a big section series championship that gave them the section title as well when they swept 2 from Mohawk. Riverside will take on Keystone Oaks, 4:30 at North Allegheny. Again, these are all first-round games on Tuesday, May 14th. 8-9 game, 8th seed Shadyside Academy, 9th seed South Park. That game prime time, 7 o'clock Tuesday at Plum High School. 4th seed, the South Allegheny Gladiators, section championship for the Glads this season. They will take on number 13 McGuffey, 4:30 on Tuesday at Boyce Mayview in Upper St. Clair. 5th seed, the Valley Vikings, a section championship for them as well. They'll take on the 12th seed Shenango Wildcats. Tough draw Tuesday, 7 o'clock at North Allegheny High School. Mohawk, despite losing twice to Riverside, they get the number 2 seed, and they will open up against East Allegheny. Could be a sneaky East Allegheny team. EA defeated Mohawk in the quarterfinals, I believe it was, a year ago. These two teams meeting in the first round this year. Matulovic Field at Shaler, 4:30 start for Mohawk and East Allegheny. Avonworth is the 7th seed in 3A. They will be taking on Greensburg-Salem, the 10th seed. That game originally scheduled for Matulovic is now 7 o'clock at Peterswood Park in Peters Township. Mount Pleasant is the 3 seed. They will be taking on the 14th seed, Burrell Buccaneers, 4:30 at Gateway High School on Tuesday. And the 6th seed is the Waynesburg Central Raiders. They go up against the Neshanic Lancers, the runners-up a year ago. Never count out Coach Q and the Lancers this time of year. Tuesday, 7 o'clock at Boyce Mayview in Upper St. Clair for the Raiders and the Lancers. Finally, in Class A, it is a 12-team tournament, so there are four first-round byes. The byes go to Union, Eden Christian Academy, Fort Cherry, and defending champion Bishop Canavan. Union, the number one seed, debate there whether it would be the Scotties or the Warriors of Eden Christian. Union gets the number one seed. They will take on the winner of the 8-9 game. That's Carmichael's against Carlinton, Tuesday, 2 o'clock at Peterswood Park in Peters Township. Bishop Canavan, the fourth seed, awaits the winner of the 5-12 game. Western Beaver taking on Swickley Academy, 2 p.m. start at North Allegheny on Tuesday. Eden Christian awaits the winner of the 7-10 game, the West Green Pioneers and the Leechburg Blue Devils, 4:30 at Peterswood Park in Peters Township. And the 3 seed is the Fort Cherry Rangers. They have a first-round bye and will get the winner of the 6-11 game, the Avella Eagles, the Springdale Dynamos, Boyce Mayview and Upper St. Clair Tuesday at 2 o'clock again. 4A, 5A, 6A brackets are in our Player of the Week podcast. All right, thanks to Phil McCarron, the head coach of the Chargers of Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, our final WPIL Team of the Week for the regular season. We will continue to do Team of the Week, Player of the Week for baseball and softball as long as there are teams still standing into mid-June through the PIAA playoffs. Thanks to Chris Lackner, our producer as well. I'm Don Rebel. Thank you for joining us. Rebel Yell Podcast, headed for the playoffs on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.